This is Magic at AboveTopSecret.com, and the topic is meditation. In specific, I wanted to address some of the things that True American discussed in his last podcast. And, yeah, some pretty good stuff there. Good times, good times. Sorry, I get this NPR voice going when I'm talking about meditation. I actually do kind of meditate a bit to kind of chill out before the meditation podcasts. And that can make me sound like I'm about to try and sell you a very nice brand of coffee. Yes, meditation. astral projection. This is something I've had difficulty doing, although I think when I was an adolescent in my early teens, I used to have problems at night with exactly that, with my consciousness leaving my body. And at the time, since it was involuntary, it was scary as hell. And I think that's actually not an unusual experience for kids who are, you know, early teens, you know, puberty, you're going through adolescence. And these kinds of, that seems to be a time in many people's lives when they really start to have some wild spiritual experiences. Certainly that was the case for me. As far as astral projection, I see that as essentially a transfer, if you will, simply a change in the location of your center of consciousness. And from what I can see, you know, from my perspective, our consciousness is invested when we are, you know, what we would call incarnate, as Brother Paul would say, when we are living here in the physical world, we're very closely bound to this form. But I personally think of the physical spiritual dichotomy as a false one. Really, there's nothing more solid to this plane of existence than to any of the other planes of existence. They're only as solid as we give them solidity. Essentially, as best I can tell, even as convincing as all this is, it is essentially a group hallucination. And ironically enough, using Society of Light model, I suspect that what we think of as the real universe is actually essentially a shared hallucination from what we could think of as a very large group entity. That is to say, we are a group entity, and our consensus as to what the nature of reality is what defines the world the way it is. And because there's so many of us, there are many, many, many of us in this reality, trillions of us, the illusion, if you will, is very strong. It's very convincing. It's consistent, because you can change your mind about the nature of reality, but the other trillion spirits out there that are sharing this vision of the way things are not necessarily going to share that change. And actually, you know, my theory on telekinesis and all that is that what you're doing in telekinesis is bending the rules, kind of like Neo in the Matrix. And actually, the fun thing about the Matrix is, I think that, you know, granted, I don't think there's a bunch of machines and that were, you know, supplying power with a form of fusion. I just love that. Combined with a form of fusion. Oh, yeah. Well, why not just the fusion? But anyway, I digress. I think that model of a shared hallucination, a la the Matrix, is actually a very accurate representation of what we call reality. And insanity is essentially a disagreement with that, if you will. And that's why we call it crazy, because, hey, it doesn't go along with the way we understand things to be. And I don't want to go too far down that road. That's actually the whole nature of reality, is something I'll talk about in some other podcast, maybe the Big Adventure series. You know, if my theory on this, and by the way, we all have different models. Brother Paul Richard at AboveTopSecret.com has some very, I think, very well developed models on the nature of things, and is very good at expressing them. And a lot of that agrees with my own firsthand experiences. And I have some different ways of expressing a lot of the same things. And we don't agree on everything. However, I think we are looking at the same things. So we may describe them differently, but that doesn't mean that because we describe them differently that we aren't necessarily seeing the same things. So my favorite parable for that is the blind man in the room with the elephant, and one standing by the trunk, one standing by the tail, and they all have different descriptions. They all give different descriptions of what an elephant is. And I think that's the way it is when we describe spiritual topics. Certainly, I think one of the common factors in meditation that I'm hearing is that everyone who meditates experiences some pretty wild things. And as I've mentioned before, that can be alarming for some people. And understandably, we seek refuge in this reality. We seek refuge in the way things are. And that actually defines very well what the Society of Light would describe as a group entity. And a group entity is simply nothing more than a group of spirits which of like mind which band together for a common purpose. And I think in the case of reality, the common purpose is to give ourselves a sense of, you know, we share this reality, and this is the way we want our reality to be for now. And we'll keep coming back into it. And the whole nature of incarnation and living and dying and, you know, why we leave behind dead bodies. And I've got all kinds of theories on that, which are probably wrong. But I'll talk about those elsewhere. I wanted to get more into this whole notion of astral projection and, you know, true American describing a person who died while meditating. And can this, you know, can the silver cord be cut? And my opinion on that, you know, granted, I'm speaking from the point of view of a person who's not experienced with astral projection to the degree so many other people are. But if my view of things is correct, yes, you can die while you're astrally projecting. And the reason for that is that you have essentially, you can cross that border. You can leave reality far enough behind where you won't want to return. So I guess you could consider that a hazard of astral projection, is that, yeah, you could die if you want to. Also, you know, we die for reasons that are outside our volition, and so, you know, you might have a heart attack when you're meditating, and it can happen. But if I'm correct about the nature of reality, we're here voluntarily, and it may not feel that way, especially when things aren't going well, but the ultimate truth is, I think, we are here because we want to be here. And if that's the case, then if you're moving your consciousness, particularly if you're leaving this plane, as they like to say, and you talk about the astral plane, which is another state of mind, essentially, that's all planes are. Plane is just an attitude. It's a state of mind. It's a point of view. And if you go far enough away from this one, you will find others. And in my meditations, I don't astrally project, but I have been making, I guess what I could say, contact with other planes of existence. And that's kind of my conclusion, in as much as they're out there, and within them, they are as real as this is to us here. So, you know, we would be the spirits. We would be ephemeral, you know, to someone in another plane. Something to think about. So, you know, if you're into astral projection, my own feeling is, you know, yeah, there's that silver cord, which really symbolizes your connection to this reality. But you may at some point in your astral projections, when you discover what's out there, decide that you're done here, at least for this life, and then move on. Just something to be aware of. Telepathy and memory. Paul Richard has stated that pretty much any thought which comes unbidden into your mind is probably telepathy. And that sounds pretty radical when we look at telepathy as some kind of special and unusual thing that only the amazing Kreskin and David Blaine and, you know, people like that can do. Uri Geller, right? But that's because we define it that way. You know, if you define telepathy as simply communication between spirits, that's a very common thing. In fact, that is incredibly common. The more I meditate, the more I come to realize just how much communication takes place in our daily lives. There are spirits, you know, we think, oh, there's spirits all around us. Well, not in a physical space kind of sense. The whole nature of spiritual existence is independent of our definitions of space and time, which, by the way, are arbitrary and don't even necessarily, they're just models for our universe. And our universe does not necessarily follow the rules that we humans here on Earth have defined. And that, of course, is the nature of science. It continues to change as we discover more. But telepathy takes place all the time. You know, and yeah, I think a good rule of thumb for that is if a thought comes into your mind and you're not sure why, that could be an indication of a spirit trying to tell you something. And we get all kinds of thoughts that pop into our minds all the time, good thoughts and bad thoughts. Yeah, there's a lot of demons out there, and basically just what demons are is they're more animalistic kind of spirits, or, you know, spirits that just or living, I guess what you say, on a lower plane. And by the way, based upon my own survey of planes, what our plane of reality is fairly low. there's some other planes out there that are way cooler than this one. Although I like this one, that's why I'm here. you know, if you're thinking this whole notion that Paul's talking about of telepathy is just being out to lunch because no way, nah. I think the thing to bear in mind is that maybe it's because you're thinking of telepathy as something more than it is, which is just a sharing of thoughts. I'm quite convinced the more I meditate, the more I come to see how everything is connected. Everything is connected. Every single thing. There is nothing, you know, we think about, oh, humans have spirits and animals don't. No, that's not true. Animals do, and plants, and everything is, it's all spirit. You know, it's all made of spirit stuff, if you will. And it really isn't a matter that, it's just a question of our perception of things as to whether or not we think something is spiritual or not. It's purely our choice. As time goes by, I'm just finding everything is spiritual, and it's all connected, and it all makes sense. That's what's so fascinating about spiritual discovery, is that, you know, the more you find out, the more it all starts to make sense, and the more it makes sense, the happier I feel. It's a process of discovery, what people might call enlightenment. although I think that's a loaded term, because the more enlightened you tend to think you are, the more self-deceived you tend to be. You know, and True American expresses confusion about these things. Hey, yeah, welcome to the club. You know, I have a hard time telling the difference between telepathic, you know, communications and my own memories, for example. And I have to be very cautious. This is one of the reasons why I urge people to be very skeptical about their spiritual experiences, because we can be deceived. And there are many spirits who seek to deceive us for reasons of their own. They have their own agendas, their own reasons for wanting to gain control over us, which, by the way, is what demons do. Demons seek to gain control over others and use that control as a means to increase their own feeling of power. Ultimately, of course, that is illusion of itself, because it never lasts. But and so this is one of the reasons why people like Paul, the Society of Light, we look more at developing the individual rather than trying to seek dominance over others. We seek, you know, rather than trying to control other spirits, we seek to try and control our own spirits. And I can assure you that that's enough of a job in itself. that's a never ending journey right there. I wanted to chime in about notions of sin, you know, lust and vanity and things, and all these notions, you know, and Paul talks about lust. The way I define lust is, you know, lust is another form of self-deception, and actually that's what all of these sins are. Sin is a form of self-deception, and the greatest victim of sin is the sinner. What sin is literally lying to oneself. In the case of lust, for example, the lie that you're telling yourself is that you can find happiness in things that lie outside yourself, and that's not true. The only way that anyone can ever be happy is to become happy within, to be happy with themselves. True happiness is to be happy with what you have. That's a choice that we make. In the case of lust, we don't understand that, and so we say, oh gee, if I only had this, if I only had that, if I could only do this, then I would be happy. And it never works out that way. You know, that's the fallacy of lust, and everything. So, you know, vanity, self. You know, the vanity is, I define vanity as self-deception in a sense of lying about who you are. That's what vanity is, and it can be false modesty, or it can be egotism and conceit. Essentially, all forms of vanity boil down to the same thing, though, which is a misrepresentation of who you really are. And that's just another form of sin. And sin always boils down to something which is false, which is generally a function of ignorance. And ignorance is the source of all fear. So the reason why we tend to see the same, you know, we can lump good things and bad things, it always comes back, at least in my model of things, it always comes back to the principles of love and fear, which could also be thought of as knowledge and ignorance, and many other things as well, light and darkness. So, you know, supernatural versus natural, I think that is just utter nonsense. There is no such thing, there's no difference. Natural is supernatural. The things that we experience, that we think of as supernatural experiences, now that's just us snapping out of our dream here for a little while, the dream of reality that we have, that this is the center of all things, that this is the center of all existence. No, it's not. It's not even near the center, as far as I can tell. This is just one reality out of so many that exist, we are fond of it. I'm fond of it. I love this world. This is a wonderful world we live in, but it's not the only one. And more importantly, it's not the center of the universe. It's not even, and our universe isn't even the center of reality. So it goes. It's kind of like when we discovered that the sun didn't revolve around the earth, you know, welcome. oh man, there's just so many different things. And I, you know, with, the way we model reality and the whole notion of, you know, the other side, Paul talks about the other side, you know, the other side is just another plane of existence, and there are actually several of them. And so, you know, to refer to the other side is kind of like, you know, the way I tend to think of it is it's everything else, the other side, people who have passed on. You know, the reason we sometimes hear from people who have died, is that they still remain attached to this reality. And there are a lot of spirits that do, and they remain attached for a number of reasons. And by the way, I'm pretty sure that everyone here has died several times and remains attached to this reality, because our work here is not finished. Our business is not done. And what is our work here? What is our purpose? As far as I can tell, the reason we're here and the whole purpose for all this is to develop, to build ourselves, to create who we are going to become. And that's our job. And that's what we do. And we do it forever. And we're always working on it. And we don't all progress at the same rates. And we don't all have the same goals either. Although I think ultimately we all have one goal, and that will be to go on to create new universes, or actually new realities ourselves. But, you know, that's down the road a ways. So if there's nothing else that I convey in this, I wanted to convey the notion that for people who might be thinking of spiritual as like out there, you know, spiritual adventures take place out there. And when you astral project, you go out there and you're going away. Well, these are space-time kind of notions of something that is actually right here. Every single one of us is immersed, is in the spirit world right now. That's where we are. You know, we call this physical reality. That's what we call it. You know, from the point of view of other spirits, this is just another place. It's another state of mind, another way of being. And spirits come and go from here just as they do with other planes. And they can spend long periods of time here, or short periods of time here, and even the whole notion of time is a very ephemeral thing. It's something that that we tend to agree on, the passage of time, the sequence of events. And I could go on and on and on, as everyone who has ever heard me knows, but I just wanted to kind of share the idea that if you think of the spirit world as being separate from the physical world, I think you're deceiving yourself. I think that the truth is that there is no difference between them at all, and that the only difference is our perception of the difference, which is our choice. But when you engage in meditation and you start looking at you start listening to what's within you, and you start seeing what's, you know, quote unquote out there, what you're really doing is you're becoming conscious of things that have actually always been here and that always will be. And in reality, all this is our own little world that we make for ourselves. You know, we're like the autistic children of the spirit world. We have our own world that we live in here, and we share it together. And this is the reality we have. And, you know, it's just marvelous the way we do it, because the rules of this place and the nature of our, you know, quote unquote physical reality is so convincing. And why? Because it has to be convincing, or we'll move on to a different plane that's more convincing. And that's why this plane has the popularity it has, because we do a good job here. This is a good world. It's a good reality. Anyway, this has been Magic droning on about the nature of spiritualism and reality versus the other side. And I've got plenty more to say, as I will in other podcasts. But I wanted to share this with you and just see what people might have to say about this point of view, which is just one among many. So until next time, which probably won't be too far off, this has been Magic at AboveTopSecret.com.